Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. And joining us this week for a bit of international discussion, we're joined by Mr. Rugby League International himself, Mr. Alex Davis. Aaron Bowers here, and Matthew Shaw makes a welcome return. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. So, as Alex is here, it would be remiss of us not to talk about the NRL season kickoff this weekend. Later in the show, we'll be discussing that.
I'm feeling a bit off at the moment because I'm not in my usual seat.
Yeah, you've all...
Why would you normally sit?
There.
Aaron normally sits there. And Matthew normally sits where Alex is. This is great radio.
I take blame. I came in first.
Anyway, we'll also be joined shortly by Ottawa Aces chairman Eric Perez and New York CEO Ricky Wilby will be joining us too. So that's the international angles all covered this week. But before that, let's talk about Super League for this week. It's still going on.
Why won't it be?
Challenge Cup. Challenge Cup. We'll also be discussing that later. But Thursday night, Hull against Warrington. And shall we start talking about Hull? And they won. They gave up another lead during that game as well. So what do we think?
For me, there's still alarm bells ringing even though they've won.
Bailed out by Mark Snead's incredible...
Well, I was going to say, if you, Mark Snead should just...
That's not an easy one either, that. He nails it from quite a distance.
If your team goes into Golden Point, you've got Mark Snead on your team, you've won.
Play for a draw and then just do his thing.
I guess the good thing for Hull is last year there were a few complete and utter horror shows. At the minute, the horror shows last for about 20-25 minutes. So I suppose if you look at it that way, it's an improvement. But they just keep collapsing in games. And it's happened 4 weeks running. It's a major concern for me.
We questioned whether they could handle a bit of adversity last week.
I suppose in that regard they did.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, far from convincing. And again, as Matt said, they chucked away another lead, which is an underlying issue there. However, the things that we were worrying about Hull FC in regards to last week, in that they're falling away at the end of games and finding a way to lose games they should be winning, well, they got over the line last week. And I think at this stage of the year, that's probably all you can say, really. I still think we're quite a way off knowing what a few teams look like, and policy are probably in that bracket. You know, Connor's injured at the minute, but I would suspect from what I saw against Catalans that Kelly's going to get a run at six now alongside Snead.
He was very good, wasn't he?
Yeah, they've obviously got a few issues in the outside backs with players out and things like that, so I do think it'll be a while before we properly get a feel for what Hull FC look like. And I don't think that's a problem, as long as they can keep picking up wins here and there and staying in the mix. I think they'll be all right.
Wakefield are obviously not in league action this week, and they're going to be in the Challenge Cup. But we do have to mention Johnston's tries.
Jeez.
I mean, I stand by what we said in the early shows. I mean, Hull KR's try, Ben Crooks, that's try of the season. But
shameless plug here, we've got a new article coming into Rugby League World as to how Tom Johnston actually does these things. We've got a sport coach that gives you some tips as to how you can be Tom Johnston-esque.
Also, a man defies gravity a lot is Tom Lynham, who scored an amazing try for Warrington last week.
Ben Crooks' try is not even in the top five, and we're not even out of March, are we? We all peaked too soon, didn't we, by saying try of the season's done and dusted.
Tom Lynham's try wasn't that good, was it?
We've peaked too soon.
I'm not suggesting it's in the top 10 tries of the season, but it was pretty impressive the way he jumped and stayed there for a long time.
We'll have a weekly...
It was somewhat unnecessary.
A weekly try of the season update. So at the minute, where's Ben Crooks' try? Is it in the top five? Probably in the top five. Liam Marshall is winning try of the season at the minute. Is that fair?
Is that like West Wales, though, who scored a pretty good try of the weekend? Did you not see that? That was pretty good. At Doncaster.
I didn't see it, no.
Scored a good try this weekend.
Hull against Warrington this weekend. Warrington got a win. A win that no one wanted.
But nobody, everyone was trying
Why was everyone going for a drop goal with about 15 minutes left to play?
Well, I don't mind that, but almost like nobody's practiced this. And we were going to talk about Cass, aren't we? But Danny Richardson, you would have banked a lot of money on him slotting one of those.
He got two bad passes though, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a couple of bad balls. Yeah, but
No, I disagree, actually.
There's a surprise.
What if he had to catch above his head?
The second one.
And put on his left foot.
No, the second one, the problem is McShane makes a really good run, but you actually don't want that on before a drop goal, because then you can't set your blockers up and because it's a quick play of the ball and you've no blockers.
Yeah, but you do need a quick play of the ball because then the defensive line is still going backwards.
Because he's made 15 metres forward as well, they can't get the blockers in. So when he gets the ball, the chasers can get straight to it.
But you do want a quick play of the ball because if the markers are set and your defensive line is set and they're going to charge at you, then you won't do it. No matter what blockers... you've got to be organised. You can get blockers in place off a quick play of the ball if you're organised.
Because he made 15 metres forward... The blockers didn't keep up with him.
They have to.
What a debate over someone kicking a rugby ball.
I was going to say, though, there was enough time, even if they got those drop goals, it's still enough time for Warrington to get one back.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, Warrington won that game off the back of a really good set where they made a lot of metres and they made it a lot quickly and they set it up.
Warrington needed to show something, didn't they, after that horror show at Leeds? And I think even if they would have lost that game, I think there was enough there to suggest Steve Price can muster a response out of this group of players. I think I might be in the minority and some Warrington fans might disagree, but I think any talk of him being under pressure at this stage is pretty harsh. You know, they made three out of the four finals during his time here, and I know they've got great resources at his disposal, but a slow start or a couple of iffy performances in the early weeks, you know, you go back a month and they were nil in St Helens 20-0 and they did so well at Wigan for an hour with 12 men. It can change very quickly. They snuck over the line on Friday last week. If they then go and get a result at Hull on Thursday, it's still that early in the season that a couple of wins just transform things and turn it on.
Some context on this Warrington thing. I think so far they've got wins over a team that had a great start to the season, had only lost once before they played them. They've beat the Super League champions. They were, as Aaron rightly pointed out, very, very competitive with 12 men against Wigan, who look like one of the benchmark teams at the minute. Has it been all bad? I think the concern for me is the away form. This away
form. Yeah, of course. And that's why I say if they go and get a result tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or whenever you listen whenever to this. Whenever it is. Thursday. Yeah.
I actually think the manner in which they won that game, while it wasn't a spectacle,
important.
The fact that it was defences dominating,
yeah,
defensive shambles that. A week before.
Rather than them winning 40-30 or something like that, yeah.
I think you can
dug in a bit, didn't they?
I think you can probably say that you can put that Leeds game to bed and just call it a bad night at the office.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Friday's match then. Salford against Wigan. Firstly, from a Salford perspective, they're obviously beaten by Catalans, but Steve Brady said they were spirited.
They're not far off Salford.
They'll be fine.
Don't forget.
Are they going to be fine against Wigan this weekend?
No, because last week we had a debate about whether St Helens or Wigan were the benchmark at this stage. And I think we can be surely unanimous now that Wigan are the benchmark.
Why?
We've just said that we're not saying
a lot about Warrington in there. So we can't.
Last week we were talking about which team at this particular point in proceedings is the team to beat, is the clear benchmark after 6 weeks? Surely Wigan are the benchmark.
They're clearly better than St Helens.
At this point in proceedings, I think Wigan are the benchmark for the competition, aren't they?
I don't think so.
So you think St Helens are?
Yeah. Well, what a result for Huddersfield then.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, we'll come back to that in a second.
I think they'll struggle. Hull KR will probably touch on them. They made it very hard for Wigan, but... You just had this feeling watching Wigan on Sunday that they were just never going to lose that game. And Adrian Lamb said they would have definitely lost it last year, and I think he's right.
They dug it out, didn't they?
Yeah, and the difference was quality in the key moments. Bevan French again, right on half time, sets up this incredible try for Hastings. Hastings himself had a couple of key moments where he got Wigan out of a hole. And I think that's just what sets them apart at the minute, that they've just got a couple of players, two, three, you know, throw Liam Farrell in there as well, who can get them out of trouble at key moments. And I just think they are the best team in the comp at this moment in time.
The thing with Wigan as well, they've now got a few suspensions, but you look at who isn't playing and who they can bring in, and they look all right.
They bring Bullock in, can't they?
Yeah,
you know,
it's not really the end of the world.
The other thing is, obviously, when you start playing well, there's people who start sniffing around your squad, and Jackson Hastings off to Allgolds.
Whoa.
Sorry, Gloucester.
Didn't say he's off to Gloucester. This is the problem, right? This is the problem that I have.
I only included that so I could do the Allgolds joke.
That's very good.
That's it.
Very good.
Thanks.
It's very frustrating. Read what's actually said in pieces. If I've said someone signed for someone, it means I'm saying they've signed for someone. If I've said a club's interested in signing someone, it means they're interested in signing someone, not that they're signing someone.
Right, Saturday, Catalans against Leeds. Behind closed doors.
Mm.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. I mean, City v Arsenal football association football's been postponed.
But the French government, but I mean, the French government have said that 1,000 we can't have a gathering of more than 1,000 people. Yeah. So
couldn't.
And as they said, you can't just like pick 1,000 people. So that was the only option.
That would have been funny. Pick them out of a hat live on Facebook.
Catalans though, they had a great victory against Salford. I mean, they are moving now, aren't they?
Yeah. They've lost Tompkins for 2 games, have they?
That's a big loss.
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. He'll go to fullback.
What about Leeds? Phil Clapton gave Luke Gayle man of the match at the weekend.
You could have given it to about 8 or 9.
Yeah, I think Gayle was standout. He was in everything.
Yeah.
There was some lovely stuff, but I mean, Toronto made it very easy at times.
I think Richard Agar's right, and he's keen to make the point. Let's not get carried away, because again, you look at context. Have they beat as one of the superstar sides yet? No.
But you can only beat what you're getting
served on.
They beat Hull quite well on the opening weekend, didn't they?
One player who's not going to Old Golds, Gloucester or anywhere is Cameron Smith, who signed a new long-term
deal. That's a good move for Leeds. He seems like he's
had a big year.
Not finally, but he seems like he's starting to fulfil that potential many people have had for him
age. Also looks like a bit of an old school 13, which I like. Plays with the ball.
I mean, does it matter that they're both playing with no atmosphere whatsoever?
But it probably does make a difference, doesn't it?
It'll be different for the players, yeah. They won't have the crowd to work off or anything like that. So it will be odd. It'll feel like a bit of a training session.
It'll help Leeds.
It will help Leeds, yeah, it will.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we talk about markers and stuff and we find out. I think this is a decent chance to assess Leeds properly. I don't think you can assess Leeds when they hammer Toronto. Can maybe make more assumptions about Toronto than you can Leeds.
Obviously, we're recording the show on Wednesday. I've got one interview to do in the afternoon, so the chances are the show will just be out just in time for kickoff for Huddersfield against Toronto. Do we have any idea where Toronto are heading at the moment?
Well, after 6 games, and not convincing you that they're going to do much else. Again, though, let's...
Yeah.
They've played last season's top five at a very, very informed lead.
But how many they were being found out in the wrong ways against Leeds, I think.
The concern is the performances the last 2 weeks. Had they lost to Leeds by 10 points...
They've regressed.
How did they dig this out? Is it all to do with the home matches? Is that what they're banking on?
It feels like they just need to up their effort levels.
Can I ask a question? Catalans, obviously, have always been a bit ropey when it comes to aways. You imagine if Catalans have to do what Toronto have to do, where they play...
the form and some of their own matches as well.
They would be bottom of the table.
It's the level of performances. Toronto are located in the UK.
Yes.
You know.
It's the level of performances over the last couple of weeks. They've gone backwards.
They were dropping off tackles and the inside push was being found out hugely. Like John Wilkin, a couple of times, they were passing inside balls and stuff and they were finding them out for effort.
It was frightening. You said they like being aggressive and pushing high up the middle, so they just got caught on the inside ball every time. And eventually you get to a point where it's, you know, catching it out, we probably need to do something about this, and they didn't.
And then they got knackered, and then Hurrell ran at them and just bulldozed his way through.
The one before was worse, where Smith had 4 men around him and still got an offload.
There was a couple, wasn't it? Cuthbertson and Smith both scored off each other's offloads.
It's down the middle that's the concern. But, and I hate to say this, weren't we all saying that before the start of the season? It's in the pack that we're concerned for them, and lo and behold, it's in. Like, the backs look all right. Russell's carrying the ball out well.
Kay made a decent break earlier.
People seem to be making not escape.
They got enough in the halves.
But they're playing behind a beaten pack.
Yeah, I get that. You know? I get that, and it's important to point that out. But if they carry on like this until they go back to Toronto at the end of next month, they're already going to be in a position where they're going to need to win 80% of their home games. They're going to have to take some big scalps in Toronto.
The funny thing is about this, Toronto win one game, the cat's amongst the pigeons, and everyone's panicking. At the minute, everyone's pointing in front of them. Can you see them winning a game? Yeah, I can, because I've seen enough of them in 3 or 4 games to think there's something there.
You had a big discussion, or you keep having discussions about whether Wigan or St Helens are the standout team. Catalans for your Leeds is...
Yeah. Shame it's not on telly, because...
Shame it's not on telly. Shame it's not got a crowd there.
Herald,
is game of the season thus far, isn't it?
I have heard talk, whether this is true or not, and I might end up looking like Matt and getting it completely wrong, that Leeds were trying to arrange some sort of beam back.
Good.
Which would be great.
Yes.
Whether they do that heading late, I don't know. But I think that would be great because I would love to watch Hurl against Falau. Wow.
You would hope.
You would hope. Super League are finding a way as we speak to get that game on some sort of platform.
100%. Sunday, the last Super League game to talk about for this weekend, Castleford taking on St Helens. We obviously talked about Castleford a bit there when they in their defeat to Warrington. St Helens, Huddersfield.
Great
win. St Helens like Hull a little bit. I'm not quite sure about them yet. They have had problems with injuries early on in the season. They've got a new coach.
I mean, they had enough ball, didn't they, to win that game?
They did.
And didn't.
I think what it goes back to, Huddersfield were very, very disheartened by the Wigan game because their whole ethos is based around defence. There's a sign up at their training ground that says Huddersfield Giants, the best defensive team in Super League, and they really try to drill in that. So they were hurt actually by the Wigan loss. The fact that they kept Saints to 10, and not only that, given how much ball Saints had, and given that they lost one of their halfbacks after 2 minutes and one of the key forwards after 20, that's them. That's sort of their hope will be the glass ceiling moment where it's bang right, here we go, we are the surprise package.
This I know most people, this game will have gone by the time most people listen to this, but it's an interesting game, this Challenge Cup game tonight, because it doesn't strike me as one that either team is going hell for leather to win. I don't mean that in terms of that they're not trying to win it, but Huddersfield have made a few changes, haven't they? They've brought a few fringe players in. You would suspect a few bigger names would get a night off.
Now, just before we move on, just to mention St Helens, I've got to be careful our word this given our chat about Jackson Hastings, but St Helens in for a surprise.
Yeah. You know what? When
a lot of people on Twitter responded to your
tweet. Seems like
tweet
this
went,
one is the thing actually
is,
happening.
The thing is, when I first heard it, I was probably like, everyone like, what? Why? But then you look at their squad, and they don't have a lot of depth at centre.
Who's the player we're talking about, Gordon?
Gary Wheeler. Sorry.
Jackson Hastings.
So they don't have a lot of depth at centre because Matt Percival's injured and he's out for another 10 weeks.
A while, yeah. He's just gone for surgery.
They've been playing James Bentley at centre as his replacement.
Who's done okay.
But really, but he's a back roller. Yeah.
Mike Costello's a centre, isn't he? They've been playing him as a winger.
Yeah.
But they're only one injury away from a fully fledged crisis, aren't they?
It kind of, when you think about it, actually makes sense. A lot of sense, actually. So.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, if St Helens get beat by Castleford, which you wouldn't rule out, being at the jungle and stuff, what does that mean?
Nothing.
Okay, good. Right, let's in a second we'll be talking about the championship, but obviously big news on Monday as the Ottawa Aces arrived on the scene with a very good press conference, I thought, over in Ottawa. And for more on this launch on Tuesday, I caught up with the chairman of the Ottawa Aces. Here's Eric Perez. Well, Eric, a big thank you for joining us, and big congratulations on getting the Ottawa Aces into the public domain. I mean, how does it feel now the ball has well and truly started rolling on this?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, all the hard work starts now, though. So if you know me, you know that all I feel is anxiety and nerves until everything is perfect.
Why the Aces, by the way?
The Aces. Well, that's a good question. So first of all, it's a cool name. Aces is a cool name. Second of all, an ace, by definition, is one who is the greatest or the best at his or her chosen sport. So that's a good start there. Next thing is the Royal Flying Corps, Royal Air Force, and Royal Canadian Air Force all were at one time just the Royal Flying Corps, and then the beginning days of the RAF, we were all one body. And still a remnant from those days, the number one ace of all time in the Royal Air Force is Billy Bishop, and Billy Bishop is from Ontario. So it's also a nod to Billy Bishop.
I mean, when it comes to the actual press conference itself, I mean, you've got some dignitaries there. You've got Simon Johnson there as well. So, I mean, that's quite a boost, I'd suggest, having the RFL chairman there at such a prestigious launch.
Definitely. We had the RFL chairman, we had the British High Commissioner, we had the Minister for Sport and Tourism and Culture. So it was definitely a pretty prestigious top table besides myself.
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, that the hard work starts here. I'm not going to talk about head coaches because you're not going to tell me. So I'm not even going to waste my breath. But
I literally don't know. So there's nothing really to say right now. Like, I actually don't know. Just because you read it in a rugby league magazine or newspaper doesn't mean it's real, you know? Because I can tell you, all the reports that I've read over the last 2 years, definitely there have been maybe one or two out of the 100 that I've read that have been accurate.
There we go. There's probably in League Express the accurate ones. Anyway, let's touch upon, you know, the next steps then. So what are the next steps for you and the Otter Aces and the organization more generally?
Yeah, so the next step would be to hire a coach and let that person go ahead and formulate the side to their specifications, because the last thing I want to do is interfere with someone who's a professional and needs to be able to spread their wings to and have complete influence over what is essentially their do or die decisions. I'm not going to be interfering with that. So I haven't thought about a player at all. All I've thought about is, maybe I should start looking for a coach now.
What's your target for League One? Because you've been here before with Toronto, obviously, and we know the great season Toronto had in the first year. So are you looking for something similar this first season?
We're looking to win the division. Like, I'm sure every team in the division is looking to win it. I would rather not win 75-0 like Toronto did in their first season. That wasn't very competitive or very fun for anyone, but it's hard to avoid it when you're a full-time squad and the other squads are not full-time, completely full-time at least. So that is something that's difficult to avoid. We're not going to try and lose games, but it would be nice if it was more competitive. I guess end of the day, we just want to get over the line and get promoted.
That's going to be the remit then of the new head coach, whoever that may be. When it comes to off the pitch, one thing that's been heavily talked about in the lead up to this launch was the fact that you were going to go at it slightly differently to Toronto, and you were going to go for that getting more Canadians involved in playing the game and that side of things very early on. So how important is that?
We will be looking for Canadian talent. We hope we find Canadian talent. But in North American sports, that's not the goal. The goal is entertainment and to see the best play. And right now, the best players aren't in Canada. So it would be tough for us to win the division with not the best players in the division. So how could we win it if most of the team was Canadian? However, developing Canadians is a generational thing. So we will be, from day one, looking for Canadian talent and, more importantly, trying to develop youngsters. But also, to think you can do that in under a generation is really, really just like a naive thing to say. One thing I will say, though, is there could be that trend, that kind of transitional talent, that generational talent, that crazy talent that is around. And if that person is around and can be persuaded to play rugby league, then we will find them. But I'm so happy to say that rugby league is too good of a game and too high of an endeavor sporting-wise that someone who's never played it before can just walk into a team just because their passport happens to say Canada on it. People should be a little bit more patient while we develop talent. That's going to take years and years and years. The Toronto Raptors started in the NBA in 1994-95, and there was only two Canadian players in the league. There's more than two Canadian players in the RFL right now. However, now in the NBA, Canadians are the second biggest demographic. Why? Because over a generation, over 25 years, they developed the talent and it became popular because the Raptors inspired from the top. That's what we're going to do. You know, we'll try to have more Canadians, but it's not, to me, it's not like if we don't have a team full of Canadians, it's a failure. No, it's not a failure. You know, it's called reality.
I mean, what do you think Ottawa, the city itself, can bring to the sport of rugby league?
It's another big market and another exciting market. You know, it's a city the size of Leeds. It straddles the border of two provinces, Ontario and Quebec. It's got French, it's got English. It's a perfect way to tie in the French sides as well. It's a great natural rival for Toronto and more of a reason why it could become an inspiration for kids to want to play is all of a sudden Toronto versus Ottawa rivalry will emerge and people will want to be a part of it. And plus, it'll give Canadians a chance to see teams like St. Helens, Wigan, Leeds, the monsters of rugby league, appreciate what they do and the product that they put out. And that will make people want to play more and develop Canada into a rugby league powerhouse. But that is a job more for the governing body. We will do our best to inspire and we will have programs. But remember, Ottawa Aces and Toronto Wolfpack are not the governing body. for the sport. It's a different thing altogether. We'll try and develop in our area, but Canada is a massive country. It's spread out over a distance that it's very hard to understand, especially when you're coming from England. Like, it is like 9 hours across on a plane. So then you're, you know, it only takes 6 hours to get to Manchester. So imagine to get across our country, it's an extra 3 hours. So it's very difficult to say. It's got to be done regionally. And now with Ottawa and Toronto, you have the chance to do that because you have that kind of Ontario/Western Quebec area starting to get covered. And I'm hoping 5, 10, 15 years from now, there's all kinds of kids playing. And then as they get older, that's your talent. That's your talent that can come in, you know? So it's a long-term project. I mean, it would be ideal as if it's 25 years, people in England, instead of saying, well, there's no Canadians on these teams, they're saying, there's too many Canadians in our league. So that might happen. Careful what you wish for.
Let's touch upon the TD Place. I mean, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's quite a coup for the club as
well.
Sweet
venue. I call it the pride of the RFL at this point. It's one of the nicest venues. It's up there with the new renovated Headingley. It provides an unbelievable experience for the fans. And the visiting supporters that come over from the UK will be blown away by the amenities and by the city itself. So I think everybody would be pretty happy with the stadium.
And when it comes to, you know, what League One clubs can expect, because, you know, you've got this variation in standard. Obviously, if we take a snapshot of this season, you know, you've got the likes of Newcastle and Workington and Hunslet and Keighley with experienced players. Then you've got the likes of Coventry and West Wales with their more youthful sides. So what can these clubs expect from a welcome when it comes to Ottawa next season?
They can expect a great welcome. Canadians are super friendly. We'd love to have them there in Ottawa here, where I am right now. We'd love to have various away fans coming from all these lovely destinations. I'm hoping Newcastle won't be in the division because they're looking really good this year. And I think that they might be up in championship next year. But if we have to play them, we will. They definitely look like a tough side, though. And they're led by a former Toronto coach, Simon Finnegan. So we know that they'll be difficult. I'm putting the prediction out there right now. I think Newcastle will get promoted this year. But all the others that come, they can expect a warm welcome, great time, great food, great atmosphere, cold drinks, and some fantastic rugby league, I hope.
Eric Perez there, Ottawa Aces chairman. A lot of journals and stuff were talking about Ottawa, you know, taking the time, developing Canadian players and all that. Listen, they're going for championship off. Does it matter?
Yes, it does matter. We need sustainability, and the player pool is small as it is. We need to find a way to increase that player pool.
Matthew, yeah. In 20 years' time, when we're still around this table, because we're all young enough, we'll still be here in 20 years' time.
I'm not sure about Aaron.
There will be Canadian players playing at both Toronto, right. Ottawa, Montreal, whoever you want.
Can't happen overnight.
Correct. It can't happen overnight. The thing that got clubs on board with Ottawa was about the fact that they would be developing Canadian players that would build a player pool that for the long-term health and the long-term footprint of the game would increase it.
And as I understand that, they are doing that, but they're having an academy, aren't they?
And I've said about Toronto, and it's a subjective answer to this question, how long do we give Toronto to produce Canadian players? I said from day dot it should be 10 years.
Yes.
And I stand by
that. Yeah, I do.
The club that's done it is Newcastle Thunder. They've built those foundations.
They've got a
great
foundation.
They've probably got a better junior area / schools program.
If they were to do that and take that as in, right, we're going to sign 5 or 6 pros, like older pros, and then we're going to sign a core group of North American players that fall out of rugby union, and we're going to try and convert them.
Which might happen, by the way.
Yeah, and we're going to take a lot of kids. And we finished 6th in League One in the first year. We're fine with that because this is not Toronto in another name. It feels like it is going to be Toronto in another name. And I don't have a problem with that, by the way.
I know, is that a problem?
No. I do and I don't, because if they're coming in and they're spending money, and let's say theoretically they're going to be here for the next 25 years doing what they're doing,
Canadian players.
Then that is fine.
That is fine.
But there are two franchises out there who have promised to build the player pool and are already working on a player pool. And whatever you think of what they're saying in the press Valencia and Red Star Belgrade,
yes,
the playpool would be expanding as a result of that, albeit the quality at the very bottom of the playpool wouldn't be great.
It's kind of what, you're aiming for, really. Newcastle Thunder are now aiming for not just Championship, but they think they could go into Super League one day. When it comes to West Wales, West Wales are not projected themselves to go into Championship, and therefore they could take their time.
Are Valencia going to be happy with a 10-year plan to get to Championship? A Belgrade, a Ottawa?
Well,
for me, it's simple. You build the player pool, you build exposure, you bring more
money.
Are we
too obsessed with the player pool rather than the actual bringing money in?
No, because it's a real-life problem.
You think, Ben, right? Mm-hmm. Danny Maguire's been on Back Chat this week, shameless plug, I know, raising concerns about reserve grade because the standard just isn't high enough and there isn't enough players there. So yeah, the player pool is a massive issue, massive issue.
Now, the other thing I was going to mention the stadium at Toronto, because they're now looking like the poorer relations, aren't they, with these two?
The facilities they've got in place at the two new clubs are fantastic, no doubt.
TD Place. Probably one of the best stadiums in the Northern Hemisphere.
the best. Yeah.
So that alone, and it's another capital city playing the sport, it's bringing in a lot. Well, later we'll be talking about New York, because they too have launched this week with plans to join the Challenge Cup next season and play some landmark friendlies, some against NRL teams. So get your views on that shortly, Alex. But just before we get to that, just a bit of a Championship roundup.
Let's.
Three teams remain unbeaten. Toulouse came from behind to beat Batley. A hat-trick from Cameron Scott helped Lee beat Halifax. Whilst Featherston overcame Swinton, Greg Worthington there scoring four tries. Broncos won at York. Widnes beat Whitehaven. Bradford nil Sheffield. And Dewsbury won again, this time at Oldham.
Think we've learned anything different to what we didn't know.
Swinton gave it a good shot against Featherston.
Is this the main talking point at the moment? Swinton, Dewsbury, even Batley have put in some good performances.
Yeah.
They're not a million miles away, are they, continuing what they were like last year.
Yeah.
It's certainly competitive at the bottom and it's competitive at the top. As we've always said, it's two leagues in a league,
yeah.
I think you're already looking at the top four being the top four, and then there's a bit of a scrap for fifth that we all suspected York would be in, but they're already playing that much catch up.
I think perhaps the gap between the two leagues is a little bit smaller this year.
Yeah, the interesting one, I think, with, and this is just going off what I've seen of certain teams, I think there are some bad weather teams in the competition. Dewsbury, the way they play is you know, Bradford probably a bit
completion
similar.
Yeah.
You've then got Widnes and Halifax, who are throwing the ball here, there and everywhere. Not really the way to play at the minute. So as the season develops and we get some slightly nice weather, which is apparently on its way, it'll be interesting to see.
It's sunny outside.
It'll be interesting to see how the likes of Dewsbury, Bradford go, and Widnes and Halifax go, and if they improve.
Even if this weather does come, it'll be interesting to see how those pitches hold up, because they've been under an insane amount of pressure. Are they ever going to recover?
Before we get to the Challenge Cup, just a quick roundup for League One as well. Three teams with two wins from their first two matches. Hunslet overcame North Wales, Barrow defeated Coventry, and Newcastle won a right ding-dong against Workington Town, whilst Rochdale beat Keighley and Doncaster defeated West Wales.
All right.
Rochdale?
Yeah. All right.
Interviewed Matt Callan last week. It's amazing, isn't it, when you've got a CEO like Andy Mays, it just suddenly it all picks up.
Mays has the sort of rationale that we need a lot more of in rugby league. He thinks long term rather than short term.
Speaking of chairman who think a bit outside the box, you've interviewed Steve Neal this week in the paper.
Yeah, he really refreshing bloke, actually. It was interesting to hear him explain where Barrow are as a club. You know, they have obviously got predominantly better crowds than a lot of the Championship, haven't they, in recent years. They've always been able to consistently get above 1,000 people and things like that. He says they're in a very good place, but it was telling that he just thinks if the funding goes, a lot of clubs die outside of the Championship, so there's a lot of worry within Championship corridors. But the reason I spoke to him was about these ticketing initiatives. And I think the catch is with the ticket initiative is that they're probably hoping it gets better as the weather improves, because the idea is if you get there for 12:45 when there's a curtain raiser, you get in for free for the whole day. So they're going to try and make a bit of a day of it in the summer.
That's a lot of pie and pea sales. Right, before we get to the Challenge Cup, let's talk about the next round of the Challenge Cup. Not round five, But hey, round six.
Hang on.
We get to the challenge.
Before we get to the challenge cup,
let's talk about the challenge cup.
Go.
All right.
I know where you're going.
Did I do a Murray Walkerism? Sorry.
Murray Walkerism.
So,
and they're away.
Yeah. He was a commentator back
in
the day, Alex.
Okay.
Okay. Before we get to round five of the challenge cup, let's talk about round six. It'll all make sense.
Mind blown.
The sixth round of the Challenge Cup will be drawn in New York. And that's because New York have launched this past week. And on Wednesday morning, I caught up with their CEO. Here's Ricky Wilby.
Well, Ricky, a big thank you for joining us. And congratulations on the New York Rugby League launch in Liverpool. How was the morning?
Yeah, it was good. It was a hectic morning. I think we did radio first thing in the morning, and then a couple of other live in Liverpool, and a couple of other radio stations on the phone and whatnot. So yeah, it was a busy morning before we even started at the press event.
Now, lots of things to digest from the conference itself. The first thing is, it's New York, it's happening. There's going to be matches being played, there's going to be a squad to be assembled and all that. So what are the next steps before we get to New York kicking a ball in anger?
So, I suppose we're pretty much there when we've agreed to play in Challenge Cup and an 1895 Cup next year. But for me, it was all about making it an attractive proposition for players. If we're going to enter Challenge Cup, we don't want to come in and get knocked out in the first round or the second round, and there's no benefit to that. So we need to make it a beneficial season and make it worthwhile for players to come and sign for us. So the idea is that we'll play Challenge Cup and 1895 Cup games, and they'll be interspersed with exhibition games over in the States. So three of them games will be NRL teams will have agreed to come over and play against us. And then we've got two international teams that we're hoping to announce over the next couple of weeks as well.
That's really exciting stuff. I mean, that's what you need to do, isn't it? Because obviously you're not joining the league system, as it were, next season. So, I mean, how difficult is it to make it a proposition exciting enough to bring in the talent you need?
It has been quite difficult, but I think the fact that I've been inundated in the last 24 hours from teams in Australia wanting to be a part of New York Rugby League, which is great, and it's very humbling that's what teams are thinking and that's what teams are about. But I think we've pretty much got our teams nailed on now. We're just going through a contract stage now with two of them. It has to be exciting for players, and I think the fact that they get to play three NRL teams and test themselves against some of the best players in the world in three consecutive weekends, you have to ask yourself as a player, when are you ever going to get that opportunity? And I think that we're giving the players that opportunity and that experience of living in the States rather than living over here in the UK.
It's interesting as well that you're kind of having a run-up at this, aren't you? So it's not just about attracting players, but it's also giving the fans a bit of a taster as well over there in New York. So is that beneficial, do you feel, that you've got these landmark games rather than the week-in, week-out nature of League One fixtures to entice supporters along?
Yeah, I think so. I think, obviously, there's a massive expat market, Australian expat market over there in the States and particularly in New York. And I think as soon as those tickets go on sale, you'll see a big upsurge in Australian expats actually realising that there's teams coming over, Australian teams coming over to New York on the doorstep, and they can go watch them. And the idea is that we'll try and sell those tickets as like a package and a bundle, so they get three games for the one price. And it gives them a little bit of entertainment through the winter when there's not so much sports going on.
And the other thing we should mention as well, at the same time New York was being announced, the Challenge Cup draw is going to be in New York next week, which seems remarkable,
yeah.
Really. I mean, that's. We've had Eric Perez on the show, and we mentioned the fact that the chair of the RFL was there for the launch of Ottawa. But, you know, New York getting the Challenge Cup draw, that's quite a coup.
Yeah, and it was something once we found out where we were and what we were doing, then it was something that I thought, it probably gives us a little bit more credibility to fans on both sides of the pond, really, to say, look, this team's here, it's legit, the RFL are behind it, they're showing their support for it. And they've been great by having the Challenge Cup draw over in New York.
And how let's talk about the Challenge Cup itself, because obviously, you know, there's luck of the draw and all that. How much are you itching for that first round draw to be home for New York?
How much am I itching for it, or how much are the opposition teams itching for it?
Well, there's that as well.
yeah, I mean, obviously, it'd be brilliant to have our first game over in the States, and I think for sure it'll be a big occasion, and we've got some smart facilities as well that we've got a couple of facilities that we can use. So depending on what ticket sales are going to be looking like, whether we look to play at what's going to be our longer term venue, or whether we look to play at a college facility, that'll be decided in the run up. But yeah, it's really exciting that we could possibly kick our first ball in the US.
And finally then, Ricky, what's the next steps then? When can we hear some big announcements with regards to head coaches, players, and opposition as well, we should say?
So the idea is that we've had a long term coach on earmarked for the last 2 to 3 years. So the idea is that moving forward, we'll engage a contract with him, and then once we can start to get his feet under the table, then he can start his recruitment policy. I said it yesterday that if I go out and I sign 30 players and the coach doesn't fancy one of them, then we're helping nobody, and it gives the coach a bit of an excuse as to why we're not winning games and whatnot. So I've said right from the very beginning that the coach will get full rights as to who he brings in, and obviously we want to have that American side to our team as well, and the USA players will get a full tryout and a full opportunity to come and try out for the New York Rugby League team, and if they're good enough they'll get selected, and if they're not then they'll probably go away and get some pointers and say, look, maybe this year a bit too soon, but next year if you go away and you work on this then come back and we'll try out again next year and we'll see if we can get into the squad that way.
And finally, Ricky, looking forward to it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a long slog so far, but yeah, we're almost at the start line, I guess. But yeah, it's been really exciting, and obviously the team that's been behind it so far have been great, and there's people who've got us to this position. They deserve a lot of credit as well.
Big thank you to Ricky Wilber, CEO of New York, for joining us on this week's Total Rugby League Show.
It won't have been a hard sell for the executive board, will it? The Lavina. Oh, who's going to go? Most weeks it's like, right, we're going to do the draw at Lee East this week. Who wants to go and be our rep? Where's next one? New York. Oh, I'm free. Yeah, I'll go. You put me on a flight to
Simon
New York.
Johnson's living the dream.
Tough sell.
Ottawa this week.
I take it he's staying. He's not coming back and then going back to North America.
Who's conducting the draw?
Guys. Yes.
Stephen Colbert. That'll be good.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Juan Pablo Anguelo used to play for New York Red Bulls.
They're the only people from New York we know.
Juan Pablo Anguelo.
New York have been pretty much set back by Ottawa coming in. They've made the best of it, haven't they, with this announcement that they've come up with. Not just the Challenge Cup, but everything around it.
It feels a fraction clearer about where New York want to go. If they are financially set and sound and comfortable about going in 2022... then it's a big year for them to get a lot of things in place. I think it's clear what they're trying to do, New York, is they're trying to get people in Australia captivated by this, which underpinned by the three NRL teams going over and playing them. And we're hearing it isn't tiny names, is it, by any stretch of the imagination?
And two international teams as well.
And two international teams, warm-ups for the World Cup, which is smart. It would be great to see them have a run in the Cup, wouldn't it? That would be fantastic. They're going to be playing home games at a university stadium in the Cup. So it's a big year for them. It's a big year. And I think they've got a run-up. As weird as this sounds, even though they're going in a year later, I think they've got a run-up on Ottawa because it almost gives them a chance to have a dummy run for a year.
They sell it,
and they can sell it, yeah.
And the other thing is as well, there's a bit more of an amateur game in that part of America anyway.
Yeah, so Brooklyn, a long established.
With the friendlies that are coming up, there's more of an opportunity for them to.
There's links with MasterCard, there's links with Hilton. You know, these are blue chip brands, and you think, well, they must be doing something right. So, you know, you get linked with companies like that. They're not linking with you if you're a bunch of pretenders, are they?
We're less than a year away from being proved whether this New York thing is off the ground.
Yeah.
But Ricky Wilby's done a hell of a job in 3 years. I mean,
worked very hard on it as well.
Yeah,
he's done a very good job. He's done a very, very good job. I think there's still a few things with New York. Like I said about Ottawa,
it's like any expansion team.
No, but the interesting thing for me now is what caliber of player they're able to recruit for next year. Is it 25-30 game season despite all being pre-season games?
Well, he's very confident that they're gonna create a decent squad there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how easy it is to do that.
When it comes to the NRL and the three teams, come to you for this bit, Alex. Is the NRL, because obviously there's talk about expansion and that kind of thing, are they going to jump on this North American bandwagon? Because there's a whole other coast of North America there, just sitting there.
Well, Rick has done a good job in getting the Australians enticed. And
is there an opportunity there for Vancouver and Los Angeles or San Francisco, maybe?
It comes back to what we've talked about earlier.
And Perth.
And it's very similar to Valencia, Belgrade.
Yeah.
Yes, but there has to be a very specific purpose. I still think, as a sport, and I say this as a man who's been incredibly supportive of Toronto, I still don't think the sport knows what it wants from these clubs.
Let's talk about the Challenge Cup then, briefly, because we're running out of time here after these little chats.
I want to know
about
what Aaron's suggestion is.
When are we launching our full-blooded inquest into why Hulk-AR get so many injuries? Because for 6 months you've wanted to know why Wakefield get so many injuries. Well, Hulk-AR are absolutely riddled than Wakefield have ever been.
Whoa, slow down. I think you'll go back to the first preview show, and I said there were two clubs, Wakefield, Hulk-AR, always get injuries every single year.
Hulk-AR are riddled. Wakefield aren't riddled. Wakefield have got barely any injuries, I think, at the minute.
Aaron straight on the defensive.
Oh, yeah, I just think Wakefield have got barely any injuries at the minute.
Who'd have guessed? Playing Sunday, we're not even there yet, mate.
All right.
Okay.
Who's the first one on Friday in the Challenge Cup?
On Friday in the Challenge Cup, it's Featherstone Hunslet
and
Wakefield Brad.
Oh, Wakefield. Good.
But they have a 7:45 kickoff rather than a 7:30.
So we're doing.
Right. Okay.
That'd be an interesting game, that.
Okay. Well, Wakefield Bradford.
Let's talk about the Challenge Cup then. The fourth round. Whitehaven against Dewsbury on Wednesday night.
Fourth round.
Yeah. They're way behind.
We're gonna we've covered three rounds of the cup in one show.
Amazing. You certainly get your money's worth. Round five is obviously Toronto against Huddersfield, which will be live on the Our League app, and most of you will already know the results, so we're not even going to mention
it.
Well done. Featherstone Rovers against Hunslet. Is there a chance here for Gary Thornton, Matthew?
I think so, because Barrow went awfully close in the last round, albeit Fev had 12 men, didn't they? But and Hunslet, we touched on in the League One, they've started well. I think so.
It's also worth noting that if you look at Featherstone's season, they had a great start to the league, but against the so-called lesser teams, they've been,
I don't want to say limped along, do you?
But scratchy.
Against
the top team, they've been very good. Yeah. So there's maybe a bit of a mentality thing that's not quite right there when they play the lesser teams.
15 minutes later, Wakefield Trinity will be taking on the Bradford Bulls. Alex, have Bradford got a chance there to recreate what they did last year big clubs like?
I think Wakefield will have too much there for me.
Depends what team Wakefield put out.
Yeah, it does.
As Aaron
does.
Says, they're awash with options. So,
they are? You know. Are they not awash with options?
So they might put, put a weak team out.
Brough and Fafita are back this week.
Will they play?
I would have thought so, yes.
Why, Aaron? Where have they been? Injured.
Yeah. Very good.
Thanks.
I'll give you that.
Thanks, mate.
No, I think Wakefield will have too much.
I get the whole Jonkier dynamic, but this looks like a weaker Bradford team than last year, and you would back Wakefield. However, the one curveball, as we've touched on with Bradford, is they do all right on those pitches that are a little bit heavier.
Tie of the round, I'm going to suggest, on Sunday afternoon, Hull-KR against Leigh Centurions.
Yes. Sunday when?
I corrected myself.
I thought you said Sunday morning.
But that's only for our Canadian. That's for our Canadian listeners. Very good. Thanks. anyway, Hull-KR against Leigh.
Yeah,
that is the time.
Especially with oh my god, the amount of injuries Hull-KR have.
Leigh've got a fancy themselves in this one, haven't they?
They're quite fortunate. Yeah, Leigh, they'll fancy it. And dare I say Leigh are the favourites?
No, you can't say that. If it was at Leigh, maybe.
But Leigh will 100% fancy it, even though. But Hull-KR are the favourites. They're the super.
I think it's
a good hit for Leigh. It's a free hit for them to go over there and have a go.
I think I'm safe in saying there's not going to be many people shocked if Leigh wins.
Huge pressure on Hull-KR. There's not huge, but Hull-KR have got everything to lose there. Leigh have got nothing to lose.
I don't think Hull-KR have anything to lose. They've got one thing.
But I mean, Hull-KR were decent against Wigan. If they play like that, they'll beat Leigh.
They were, but then they lost Keyes, Mayer, Staunton, who was going really well. Actually.
Yeah, he was.
I think he said they get a few. They might get a few back. Quinlan, Hiraki, maybe even as well. So crucially, they get a bit of seniority back, but they're just not getting people back in the right positions. They need some. They need some punch and some power.
Haraki's a big boost.
Yeah, he is. But they need some. They need some grunt. They need some size.
Newcastle Thunder will be taking on Whitehaven or Dewsbury Rams.
That is the most. Has anyone ever played two Challenge Cup games in a week?
Yeah, there was. Probably. Last year was pretty hectic, wasn't it?
For 2 in a week, though.
Back in the day, maybe. We've got this. Well, we've got a piece in Rugby League World about Bradford Bulls when they played 4 games in a week.
And no one complained, did they?
Oh, they've just gone on with it. In there. They've just gone on with it.
Right, let's talk about the other game then, which we've got a lot more details about. Message. Sheffield Eagles taking on Workington Town. Big chance for an upset here, I feel. Or big chance for Sheffield Eagles to get the season going.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I don't think. Would anyone be shocked if Workington beat Sheffield?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, York City Knights are taking on Rochdale Hornets this weekend. I remember this game being the other way round a while ago. Rochdale Hornets were in the Championship, York City Knights were in League
One. It's a classic of a team in the division above not playing that well and a team in the division below playing well, and that's what where shocks can happen.
And finally, Widnes Vikings against the Swinton Lions.
Widnes will be fine on their own pitch. The way they play. Yeah. So but they'll win a lot of games at home because the way they play suits how Sheens is trying to get them to operate.
But Swinton will make it easy. Mm.
Well, that's the Challenge Cup. And before we go, you two have to sit here and be quiet and behave yourselves. NRL this weekend. Big season kickoff. Don't leave. Big season kickoff.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Thursday.
Tomorrow. Yes. What if I'm listening to this on Friday?
Thursday.
Good.
Who should we be looking out for? Who's your top five?
Off the top of my head,
yes.
Melbourne I've got first. Parramatta, I think, will do really well this year. They came bottom 2 years ago, then they came fifth. I think they'll move on again and maybe come into the top two. Then you've got the Roosters, who are never going to be far away, and neither are Souths. And number five, I will go with Cronulla Sharks.
There we go.
Now Canberra.
Canberra will be in the top eight. Again, it could be sort of a second season syndrome for them.
I think Gold Coast are going to finish top.
John Bateman isn't playing the weekend, which is a shame.
Gold Coast v Newcastle is going to be the grand final, I think.
It won't be.
Why not? Why not?
Wow.
Why not?
Very aggressive, why not? Alex.
Because Gold Coast is exactly the same squad as last year.
Justin Albrook.
Yeah, just a whole might make him. He might move them up a few places.
You say but
he might move them up 15 places.
Can he move them up to big?
Can they make the eight?
He can because the Titans now have Taylor back. He's not a new player, but he had a lot
have
of personal injuries.
Tyrone Roberts in the halves.
They do. Watkins is set to start for the Titans. He's had a good preseason.
Yeah, I'll watch Gold Coast.
He's kept Brian Kelly out of the spot.
I'll watch Gold Coast this year with intrigue to see how he goes and with a full season.
They've got Peachy and Watkins in the centres, and he's kept Brian Kelly out of the centres, who I like as well. So he's done well to oust him out of the side. To be fair, Watkins, he's done really well there.
Well, the good news is that it's morning rugby league back again on Sky, isn't it? Which is always nice.
And the first week's interesting. Parramatta Canterbury and the Friday night first game at the North Queensland Stadium, the new North
Looks
Queensland Stadium.
Very nice.
It does. It does. And they've sold out for a game against Brisbane.
There we go. Thank you, Alex.
What's the capacity?
25, something like that.
Thank you, Alex. And
you're welcome.
One last plug: Rugby League World's out as well at the moment.
Yes, and the new one is well underway.
There we go. Aaron, your features at the back of the League Express are doing quite well. Reads, what you got this week?
Ridiculed last week for saying I couldn't commit to what would be in the paper yet, and then but this week he's like, oh,
they look great.
They do look great. Designed by Alex.
You're going to North America this week, surely?
Yes, we are going to North America this week.
Anyway, that's out in the League Express on Monday. Matthew, back chat.
Yeah.
Big one last week. What's coming up this week?
Kenny Maguire and Craig Harrison. We're interesting. They were really good on reserve grade and various other things as well. So, yeah, worth a watch.
And that's on Thursday on Free Sport.
Yeah.
Yes. And TotalRL.com, the place to go for rugby league breaking news and that kind of thing. But that's us over and out for this week's Total Rugby League show. A big thank you to Eric Perez and Ricky Wilby for joining us, as well as Alex Davis, of course.
Thanks,
Aaron Bauer and Matthew Shaw. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.